Hello everybody, this is Lucy Bardia's message for Sunday the 2nd of July. Hagar, the God of promises hears you, sees you, wants to open your eyes. As you know, I like to dwell on lesser known people in the Bible, second rate characters, so to speak, marginal characters, yet considered important enough by the author of this book, the Bible, by God himself, to be named, considered. Today, we reflect together around the history of Hagar, an insignificant character at first, a slave, gaining importance, becoming a surrogate mother to provide a descendant for Abraham, but who, a few years later, will be rejected, driven out by her masters. But not abandoned by God, this God who wanted her story to be recorded in the Bible so that we can benefit from it. Besides, Paul will speak again of Hagar in his epistle to the Galatians, so her story is not without significance. It all starts in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram is 75 when he leaves his native country. They will remain in Canaan for a time, then they will emigrate again. In verse 10 we read, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe." After this famine, when they returned to the land of Canaan, they brought with them an Egyptian servant. Her name is Hagar. The real story of Hagar, where it comes to prominence, begins some 10 years after Abram returned home from Egypt. Let's read Genesis 16, chapter 1 to 3, together. "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife." It has been 10 years since Abram and Sarai returned from Egypt to Canaan, and still no children. Whereas, even before going to Egypt, God had made this promise to Abram, "I will make you a great nation." More than 10 years have passed, and still nothing. The promise is slow to come true, so much so that Sarai decides that it is high time to intervene, to lend a hand to fate, to change this interminable situation, and she lends her servant as a surrogate mother to her husband, so that at least Hagar can give her the child that Sarai could not conceive. Sarai gives Hagar as a concubine to her husband. It's because she has esteem for this servant. She considers her worthy of rising in rank, one might say. She serves her mistress well. She is trustworthy, considered fit enough to carry her husband's future baby. Sarai knows her well. Hagar has been there for 10 years. I think Sarai even had affection for Hagar. She would not have lent any womb to become the mother of the one who would make Abraham a great nation. But now the picture changes quickly. Hagar, well appreciated, esteemed by Sarai, will experience a reverse of favour. Let's read verses 4 to 6. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. Well, Hagar may have behaved badly towards her mistress. Hagar is proud of her condition. She at least could get pregnant, and she looks down on her mistress. The mistress, Sarai, suffers from this contempt and complains to her husband, who, forgetting that through this slave he was finally going to become a father, gives his wife, Sarai, free license to act as she wishes towards Hagar. Abraham does not protect her. He does not protect his future child. Didn't he want it? Why doesn't he care what happens to Hagar? We don't know any more about it, but Sarai doesn't wait to be told twice that she can do with her servant what she wants, and she begins to mistreat Hagar, this servant she had esteemed before. Weird how people's behaviour towards each other can often change. Anyway, Sarai must have been really mean to Hagar, since the latter can't take it anymore and runs away. Even pregnant as she is, she flees into the desert. You don't go to the desert on a whim. I think the poor woman was really at the end of her tether. Hagar runs away. She can't take it anymore. Everything would be better, even the desert, than this situation of abuse. She walks a certain distance, then she stops near a water source. There God will speak to her. He resources her, as one could say. Genesis chapter 16, 7 and 8. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Hagar meets the angel of the Lord there. It is the first time in the Holy Scriptures that it is a question of the messenger of the Lord. In other versions, we read the angel of the Lord. What an honour done to this poor bit of a woman, who is only an Egyptian, moreover, a slave. The angel of the Lord comes to find her. Her first manifestation on earth for Hagar, a woman, a slave, fallen out of favour with her mistress. The angel of the Lord appears to her and makes her a big promise. God makes this promise to Hagar that she too, like Abraham, will have a great posterity. Genesis chapter 16, verses 9 to 11. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. The Lord has heard you in your affliction." We do not read that she called on the name of the Lord, yet he heard her affliction. And God told her what name to give her child, Ishmael, which means God hears. God hears, note it well. God knows our life circumstances, our misfortunes do not escape him. This first time that Hagar meets the angel of the eternal, she already knows one thing. God hears our sufferings even without being told. This is a God of love and grace. He does not expect us to submit a form in triplicate. No, he looks at us and he understands our distress. And it is he himself who extends his hand even to a woman an Egyptian, a slave, a surrogate mother. The angel of God intervenes at the initiative of God, and he will ask questions. He asks Hagar, where are you from and where are you going? He asks her to take stock of her life, her current situation. God asks Hagar, where did you come from? Where are you going? She has the answer to the first question. I just ran away from my mistress. Very often we know where we come from, but we don't always know why we don't continue on this path. So the second question from God is just as important. Where are you going? What is Hagar's response? I am running away. In fact, she has no answer. She does not know where she is going. She's just going. She is going towards Egypt, her country of birth. But in reality, she has nowhere to go. She is a slave without any rights. I flee, that is to say, my current situation does not please me. I want something else. But what? Anything Hagar could have wanted would be legitimate from our point of view. I want to be loved, treated with respect, to be considered, even if it means remaining a slave, but treated well. God does not miraculously open to her an immediate door to a bright future. Instead, God commands Hagar to humble herself and return to her mistress and obey her. God hears, but he does not deliver her from her affliction. And imagine the state of mind of Hagar, a young pregnant woman. I'm fed up, I'm tired, but I have no choice. My flight leads nowhere. I have to stay in my situation and wait. God has promised, but to receive the promise, I have to go through unpleasant conditions, very comparable to situations in our lives, which tire us, from which we want to flee. Unemployment, divorce, illness, family problems, injustices done to us. We are pregnant, yes, because we carry the future, the promises of God. And yet, are you like Hagar, bearer of the future, of God's promises, and yet in an unenviable situation? What do you want to run away from? Imagine God telling you, as to Hagar, return or stay in your situation. Now is not the time to change it. Rather harsh as an answer, what would you do? What are you doing? In Genesis chapter 16, verse 9, we read that God asked Hagar to return to her mistress. We don't know if Sarai changed her attitude, if she was, after this episode, more cool with her servant. Time passes, a few months. We do not know more. Then Hagar gives birth to a boy, Ishmael. Abraham is then 86 years old. Verses 15 and 16. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Abraham left for Canaan at the age of 75. He has his first child at the age of 86. And let's read the beginning of chapter 17, verses 1 to 2, 4 and 6. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Verse 4. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. Verse 6. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. When Abraham is 99 years old, God promises him once again posterity, to multiply him to the extreme, to make him extremely fruitful. 24 years after the first promise, Abraham is no longer young, 99 years old. Therefore, Abraham struggles to understand. Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarai bear a child at the age of 90? So here are 24 years that pass between the promise of God to make him a powerful nation, to have an important posterity, 24 years, a promise of God without effect. Just this child from his wife's servant, only one child. Abraham doesn't believe it anymore, actually. Nevertheless, the Bible tells us a year later, Abraham finally had a child by Sarai. The child called Isaac, Genesis chapter 21, verse 5. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. A quarter of a century after the promise. Wow! And Hagar? She is always there with Ishmael when the day comes when Isaac is weaned. This is accompanied by festivities. Little Isaac must be 2 years old. Hagar's child is then about 14 years old, a preteen, someone who stirs things up, who does not always have the attitude we would like him to have in company. And here indeed, on the day of the festivities, Ishmael will laugh at the wrong time, which will cost him dearly. Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 to 10. The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." "Cast out this servant girl and her son," said Sarah to Abraham. "What is he doing? After all, Ishmael is the son of Abraham." Verses 11 to 14. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. Well, the idea of chasing away Hagar and her son doesn't sit well with Abraham. Hold on. How is this done? When she was pregnant, he allowed Sarai to mistreat the one who was about to give birth to his child. When he is 14, he no longer wants to let this child go, but he will do it all the same. It is God who orders Abraham to do it. "Let your son go. I will take care of him. I will make him a great nation too." And Abraham obeyed. He let go of his eldest son, Ishmael, by giving bread and water for the journey to his mother. Hagar and Ishmael leave, without really knowing where they will go. They have nowhere to go. The first time she had fled from her mistress. I forgot to say that the name Hagar means flight. But the first time she changed her mind, she went back, she stopped her flight. This time Hagar does not flee, she is forced to leave, and off she goes without knowing where to go. There are those moments in life when you have to change your route. The road is blocked, but where to go? When you have no specific goal, no road map, you get lost. This is what happens to Hagar. She wanders off, and water and food reserves are running out. Verses 15 and 16. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. The picture is darker. She and her son are going to die. Hagar can't take it anymore. She sees her child, a teenager, weakening. She has nothing more to give him. He is lying under shrubs. She moves away a dozen of meters. Her child is going to die, and she can't do anything for him. Then, in verse 17, God heard the voice of the child, and Hagar will experience deja vu. An angel speaks to her, verses 17 to 21. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. I would like to say that they still lived long and happy lives, and probably they were going to have many grandchildren. But back to Hagar. Already, when she fled from Sarah's house, the angel of the Lord spoke to her. The angel of the Lord came to find her by a spring. This time the angel is making his voice heard from heaven. We could read above, it was done quickly, as if it were a trivial thing, but no, God intervenes in the life of man. He takes the initiative. Sometimes he intervenes close by, sometimes he intervenes from heaven. God hears the cries of Ishmael and speaks to this mother from heaven. God hears the cries of his children and speaks to them from heaven. Besides, Hagar is going to give a name to this God who speaks to her. Already in Genesis chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees me, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Ra. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. The God who sees me, the living God who sees me. The child receives his marvelous first name, Ishmael, God hears. And mother receives this comfort, God sees me. After Genesis chapter 21, we don't talk about Hagar anymore. Her story ends there. For my part, this story of Hagar is already an image of what will be the intervention of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, of the disciples of Jesus. God hears and sees and accompanies Hagar, this Egyptian, this slave. How much more will he be by his Spirit with his own children, the disciples of Jesus? He hears them, he sees them, he accompanies them. But just like Hagar, at one moment a follower can have a good position, then the next day be despised, mistreated, to the point of wanting to run away, in a work or family situation. The situation may be favourable one day, unfavourable a short time later. How are we going to react, to escape? God catches up with us, not to punish us, but to give us new directives. For Hagar, it was first to return to her masters and obey them despite the difficulty. For men and women who are unhappy in their relationship, it has been this incentive to stay together despite everything, except being humiliated. For men and women, it's still like that every day at work. The harassment of the boss, the manager, the false tokens of colleagues or employees who hang around, lie, harass, abuse, and who knows what else. To remain despite everything, to accept being humiliated. Hagar stayed, returned to her masters, but not without a promise from God. We disciples return, we remain in difficult situations, not without promises from God. And who reminds us of God's promises? Isn't that the work of the Holy Spirit? John 14, verse 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit reminds us of God's promises. In the case of Hagar, completely desperate, the angel of God comes to renew her, to remind her of the promise of God. In our case, being in more or less despair, God, by his Holy Spirit, by his word, comes to remind us, to renew his promises to us. What about Hagar? Let's reread Genesis chapter 21, verse 19. Let's not jump to the end of the story too quickly. The child grew up, got married, had lots of children. Let's stop at this little piece of verse 19. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy to drink. God opens Hagar's eyes. However, nowhere does it read that her eyes were closed. She couldn't bear the sight of her dying child. That's why she walks away. But her eyes weren't closed. We can say at most that she had a haggard look, a bewildered expression in her eyes. A concern prevents her from seeing clearly. It was then that God opened her eyes and she sees a well. In other words, she sees the solution to her problem. She sees a new resource. She will be able to continue on her way. She and her child will live because God opens her eyes to see. God opens eyes. God hears. God sees. God opens our eyes. Expect these questions from God as in Hagar in a difficult situation. Where are you from? Where are you going? Understand that he is the one who hears you, who sees you, and who wants to open your eyes. Even today when he hears our cries, he comes to open our eyes by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes regardless of our situation, lost in our attitude, worried, desperate, our haggard gaze in the face of the situation. God opens Hagar's eyes and she sees a well. Why didn't she see it before? She was so desperate she missed the water. She had to search, look everywhere, and she didn't see this well. God opens our eyes for us to see the well, the source, the missing resource. God opens our eyes to what he has already planned for us. Hagar finds herself in the desert twice. The first time she stopped near a water source. This is where the angel of the Lord speaks to her. The second time she does not see a source of water, which, however, is there. While an angel speaks to her, she will have her eyes opened and notice the well. God speaks through an angel by his Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you are near a well, exhausted, sometimes when you're so exhausted you can't even see the well. What love of God for Hagar, an Egyptian, a servant. How great will be his love for us, his own children through Jesus Christ. He speaks to us near a well. He puts before our eyes the resources that are in him. When we are at our lowest, when we are on the run, when we are humiliated, when we are despised, when we are sent away. Yes, God is good. He opens Hagar's eyes and she sees the well and she will live. May he open the eyes of those of us today in situations like Hagar, so that we can see through his Spirit the resources that are before us, so that we can find the strength to return, stay in the difficult situation and to hold on to it, so that we find, as is the case for Hagar during her second passage in the desert, to come out of our bewilderment and to continue by the resources that the Holy Spirit gives us, the path that leads to obtaining the promises. Amen.